Well, I look forward now to having our brother Renan Bevan bring the word to us.
Thank you. Sorry. Do you want to take it, please?
That's fine.
Down? Do you want to start down with it?
I'm so sorry.
Just a little shoot. No, it's all right. It's okay. It's okay. Well, prayer has gone up, and we're sure that the Lord has heard and that he indeed will answer. I'm so glad to be with you again this night. It was some time since I was here last, and this is a door that has sort of suddenly opened in the sense of for to be able to come tonight. And there's been indications along the line that we're coming in the will of God. I was just thinking that if it hadn't been for someone offering the taxi, I wouldn't be in the taxi. And as soon as we drew up, the driver was very concerned that he shouldn't stop anywhere along this road. And then I had to think of a road, and I thought of the one that comes down there. And then, of course, there was the parking lot. And as soon as he turned in, he saw the sign. And then he asked me, "Will you pray for me?" Mm-hmm. And I did. And I told him, "Look, anytime you need prayer," I said, "you come along here, and the folk who meet in this place will willingly pray for you." And that's a token of the Lord's leading and guidance. Of course, it was a blessing to have a taxi to come. But the thing is this, you see, in that, there was every indication also that the Lord wanted that particular driver to be in the place to come. And it shows us, beloved, the wonder workings of grace in the day of grace. And I'm sure we'll be praying for him. And when I have occasion now to testify, as I've spoken tonight, I do know that folk will take that up in prayer. Now then, we come to look at these words. And first of all, I have to say that I've been on a journey. I've been trying to think of how long now in this particular part of the journey, sometime towards the end of the lockdown and coming into the time between then, somewhere now in that sort of time, I've come to see that I must look at Luke and Acts through a different pair of glasses, if I can put it like that, than what I've been looking through hitherto. We come and look at the scriptures and we listen to what folk tell us and teach us, and then some of us will have the opportunity to study, and we listen then to things we are taught, and we take them in. And I've got to explain to you now what I mean by looking through the with a new pair of glasses. And that is, you see, people talk about the synoptic gospels and John's gospel and separate them out. John's gospel stands alone because of the particular way it's constructed and its message and all its contents and everything there. And then we think of the synoptic in the sense of viewing together of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and seeing things that are parallels and seeing things that are distinctive to everyone. And those who study in theological colleges, they have such questions as the synoptic problem. But you know, what I've come to see is this, that as John is separated out from the rest, so also is Luke's gospel. And I've come to that conclusion by looking particularly, and not only Luke's gospel, but Acts, looking particularly at the first four verses and going through them with what we would have called in my day and generation with a tooth comb, a fine comb that separates out every hair, and going through it with a tooth comb, going through it word by word, and seeking to understand the meaning of each word, both in the first four verses in Luke and in the first four verses in Acts. And there's one thing we come to conclude is that it's a writing of book one and book two. And it's a writing to one single person in the first place. And then we see that this thinking of Theophilus is not a message of proclamation, but it's a writing of confirmation, because it's to assure him of the things that he has most surely and certainly been taught. And because he's he has been most surely and certainly taught, there's every reason to believe that that man has come to know the Lord Jesus. Because you see, the way that he's been taught and what he has been taught has been clearly laid out and set down. And at least I've got to say that as I look at it, I find in that the sense that this is confirmatory. We just think of the epistles, for example. In the epistles, there's things to confirm and also things that are written down to correct things that are wrong or getting off the track in one way or another. And as I've come to see this, it's changed my whole view of looking at both the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. I've had to come to see it in that way. And then seeing how Luke puts it in this, Theophilus has been taught in this way, and Luke, in the same way, takes up that same, what am I thinking of? This same mode of of going now to confirm what Theophilus has been taught. And Theophilus comes from the upper echelons of the whole of the Roman system. He's most excellent, Theophilus. He's a man of standing. In present day terms, that title is given particularly to ambassadors. He's a man of some standing in the whole setup of Roman government and the way that that government is worked out. And you see the marvel of the grace of God that even someone there has come to know the Lord. There was a lady, Selina Hastings, Countess of Huntingdon. Her way of putting it was this. And she comes down to the simplicity of expressions as if she's talking to little children. And she says, she thanks God that he put an M in the English language. Because if there was no M in the English language, the text would read, not any noble and not any mighty are called. And she was of the nobility. Do you know that she could have an audience with the king without asking? Turn up on the doorstep and wait. If she had to wait, that was the status of Selina, Countess of Huntingdon. And she's left a legacy. She was the woman who was behind George Whitfield in many ways. She's left the Countess of Huntingdon's connection. So far as overseas work is concerned, they've got all the eggs in one basket and one basket alone in Sierra Leone. And they have today 200 mission stations in Sierra Leone, still on the foundation, which was laid. And beloved, this is a great encouragement to us that something thus laid lasts, and the fruit of what is laid lasts, not only until the end of time, but right through concerning all the purposes of God, and especially for each single soul saved in particular. And beloved, that is the basis and foundation that causes us to rejoice in the grace of God to others. Same grace to us, who has caused us to stand and caused us to be set down. I'm glad to hear one note tonight. A note which speaks of the expectancy of revival. And in God's way, his sovereign ways, by sovereign grace, we believe that he will yet again visit us. And this place will ring. How many times it might have rang in the past, in every day and generation, will ring again, ring with the songs of Zion and reverberate in this place as it has in the days gone by. Beloved, this is the thing that causes us to press on, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And if you want to know what I'm amazed at, that this would have come out thus far concerning this message tonight. Not because I'm preaching it, but I just want to say, I've expressed things tonight in a way I've never ever expressed before. Oh, it is encouraging. Because it shows us God coming to confirm to us the things wherein we have been taught. It's as if I'm preaching on the first four verses tonight, although this is the text that the Lord put on my heart. Now then, we must come down. At least I must come down to this place. Because you see, we are told in the first verse of chapter 15, the first word, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. Those publicans who were in public office. In the bygone days, they would have belonged to NALGO, the National Association of Local Government Offices, if there was such a thing in their day, and there wasn't. Not people who kept whatever arms is the pub around the corner. Publicans. Oh, people in public office. And they drew near. And they were known as the reputation of the biggest fraudsters. And that's why they were the outcasts of one kind of society. And then we have the sinners in the same boat as them, outcasts. Because they're in the same boat so far as being sinners are concerned, but they are in particular circumstances, publicans and sinners, all sinners who needed to be saved by grace, and they drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. They were murmuring among themselves. Jesus heard the murmurings, whether it was spoken in his presence or whether it was not. For he reads the heart. He listens to the heart. And listening to their heart, because there was this unanimity about them, listening to all this, he spake a parable, this parable unto them. This parable unto them. And I've got to come to the conclusion, and I'm speaking now of myself, that of this parable. And I see this parable in two parts. Now I know that the first part has been spoken in its entirety somewhere else, on another occasion. And it's, if I can put it like that, the words are put together, tailor-made for that occasion. And they put together now, it is a repeating of what he said before, but they're putting together now, tailor-made for this occasion. And there's a difference. There's no difference in the 100 and the 99 left, and the one is sought. But the 99 are left on the mountain there. Because wherever it is, on the mountain is relevant to saying the things he wants to say, he needs to say. And the things that are round about, in one sense, rivets their attention in a particular way. And then when they're here, it's in the wilderness. And the wilderness from where they are is split up into two kinds of places. does the places where sheep can be left to graze, and then beyond the limit of that environment, there's something that is, I suppose I can say, very harsh, very dry. We happen to sing a medical worship psalm tonight about the arid wilderness, or the arid place. So you sang the words as well as I can. I can't particularly remember them of heart by now. But and it was there, because he wanted to rivet the attention of these two groups, the five scribes to whom he is speaking. And then there are the, let's stick on the words, the sheep. And he loses one of them. And he goes after it. And here's the similarity. He goes after it until he finds it. Oh, that, pardon me harping on about the taxi driver. Oh, that the Lord will go after this man until he finds him. And that's the challenge to me tonight. Am I willing to pray through that the Lord will get through and reach through to this man, whoever he is, until he is found? Oh, that I might stand faithful and identified with the Lord for this, keeping my eye on the Lord concerning this matter, and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit even to apply that tonight. You know what's on your plate. So far as intercession and prayer is concerned, and it's there. And the Lord might bring remembrance sometime at the right time. And it certainly won't be every time, if I can say that, or at least I must not limit it to that. Perhaps it's such that the Lord will make it every time. Because whoever he goes after, it's that he might seek after it until he finds it. And having found it, the sheep, he picks it up and lays it on his shoulders, rejoice. Now there is one word that's different. Again, I mean, speaking of words, there's a word here now that's different again than that time. And it's this, that he himself picks it up. It's that word that's translated here in the text. I won't go into the niceties of Greek grammar now and tell you why it didn't. I'll have to tell you now why it's not in the middle verse. This laying it on his shoulders, rejoicing. If it was in the middle voice, it would be the Lord Jesus acting for the benefit of himself. Now, we are in English, conversant with active and passive. And in Greek, there are two actives. And there's one active where the Lord, I give the illustration, is acting for either the benefit of himself or for his own purposes. And when he chose the 12, before that he was up in prayer in the mountain, he comes down and he chooses 12. He chooses the 12 If I were to say for his own benefit, for the purpose of working out his part in choosing them to fulfill what he has for them to do. But though he's not choosing these to confirm what these primarily now what can do for him, but what he's going to do for them. He picks it up himself and lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I suppose if you translate it literally, one would have to go along this line. And when he hath found it, himself layeth it on his shoulders, leaving out the attack. He himself lays it on his shoulders. Now that doesn't flow, therefore he layeth it. But that word, and in Luke, that word is there. And he's doing this in the first instance, primarily for the purpose, for the benefit of this one who he picks up and lays on his shoulders and brings it home, rejoicing. The fact that he lays it on his shoulders is this. This animal has not got strength in his legs to walk. Or her legs, it's new. In its legs. Hasn't strength in its legs. Oh, there's an echo of the cross here. And the working out of the cross and the outworking of the cross. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. No strength. And indeed, it goes further than that. It speaks of being dead in trespasses and in sins. And his quickening voice coming and giving life. And his quickening voice has come to some of the tax gatherers and the sinners. Matthew, for example. There came a day he wasn't around any longer. Whoever would have been on the higher echelons concerning with that table and board and receipt of custom, they'd have to recruit someone to take Matthew's place. Matthew wasn't there any longer. For he'd been found and he was following Christ and fulfilling a particular purpose that they've already referred to. And the Lord went up. And in the choosing, Matthew, for example, amongst them, and beloved, every single one of us, he's called by name. He set us in the place and set us in the way that we might fulfill the purpose that he has for us. Yes. And because of that, the purposes that he might have through us, for us personally, and particularly, the purpose and the purposes that he has through us corporately. Corporately. And this is why he's causing us to be stuck together, coming through whatever may be, everything that is up against us, whatever has been up against this fellowship and will be in the days to come, to bring us through together to fulfill what he's called us to do. And beloved, if it's the principle of whatever glory has been in the former house, there will be a surpassing of it in the latter house.
Mm.
Oh, and beloved, however far off Father days, as it were, the latter days, isn't it a comfort to know that the Lord has caused us to be so in this way set down, and in that sense to be retained? Not all are retained. I do remember, and you will know all about them and where they are now. There was a young couple here I remember particularly. And there might be one, two other youngsters here. They're not tonight. Perhaps they're not here in the mission, in the fellowship. Beloved, they are somewhere in God's appointing. They're doing something. And they would not be where they are today if it were not for the fact that they were here. And I've got to name it as yesterday. And I'm not talking about Saturday or the week gone by. In the yesterday. The yesterday that I might refer to. The yesterday that is called to your remembrance tonight. They may even be part of the something that God has put on your plate. Oh, beloved, the Lord is carrying them tonight, and every other one of whom they are but rest representatives. That's only an example. Many others. And they are, if they haven't gone to glory, they're living on, they're working on, and working out his purposes. And he's pleased to do it through the Holy Spirit in them, in the same way that he's pleased to do it through the Holy Spirit in you. And he lays this one that is lost on his shoulders and brings it home and calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And then he brings it down and is to the Pharisees. "And I say unto you, there is joy in that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need more repentance. Joy shall be in heaven. The cross is yet to come. It is said of him who, for the joy that was yet before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy for him that was out and beyond the other side. And of that joy that was out and beyond the other side of the cross, beloved, we are all included in that joy because we are found in him. Found in him. And found in him together. And he would have been looking forward to that time when there would be a rejoicing that's complete. And in that day, there will be no more seeking the lost, because the whole gathering and company of the lost will be absolutely, perfectly fulfilled. And great will be the rejoicing. Amen. I just feel that that's the place to have rounded off and come to an end tonight, beloved. And I trust that the Lord will have blessed this word to all our hearts and give us the resolve and to endeavor, having put our hands to the plow, never to look back, because we can be assured that if we are looking forward, there will be no curve and swerve in the furrow behind us, because we have a marker out in front and we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. So if I was looking at something this today now, by I'm looking at the bead down the corner of that window there, because it's a marker straight ahead. And I tell you this, I wouldn't say it so if I was driving a pair of horses, but if I was driving a tractor and looking at that and kept the marker, you know, whatever is the emblem on the front of the bonnet of the tractor, and that marker there, it's straight, because it's the Lord to whom we're looking, and he will keep us straight on. I said amen once, and I should have finished that.
Amen.